Everyone, welcome to City Hall and the Committee of the Whole meeting. It is July 25th, Monday, and I am Dorothy Flanagan, Alderman for the 4th Ward, and I will be your chairperson for today. Make sure everybody's mics are on, I guess, if you can check them, please. And the only one, everyone is present except for Alderman Vogelsberg. Oh, excuse me, and the mayor. The mayor will be a little bit late this evening. So that was my item number one. Item number two, I'm looking for a motion to open the public hearing on the proposed annexation agreement with the Forest Preserve District of Kane County pertaining to a portion of Prairie Green Preserve.
Move approval.
Second.
Okay, that was Alderman Hill and seconded by Alderman Maladra. Mr. Rush, good evening.
Yes, I just wanted to describe that this is a hearing on an annexation agreement involving the community garden plots at Prairie Green Preserve. This is a project that we have been working on with the Park District and the Forest Preserve District for many months. The annexation agreement provides for the development of this project, 124 plots. A driveway into the site, and a 30-space parking facility, together with the extension of a water system, water service to the site, and a water system throughout the garden plot area. At this point, the main provisions of the annexation agreement pertain to annexation of the property once a plat of survey or plat of annexation is prepared, the establishment of RR zoning for the property, which is consistent with the zoning for the rest of Prairie Green Preserve, the remaining 540 acres of Prairie Green Preserve. And then there's a site plan incorporated into the agreement that reflects the development that I briefly described of the garden plot area. So that's just a quick introduction, and that's it.
I guess I'm going to open questions up to anybody from the floor, if there's anybody in the audience that wants to make a comment on this public hearing. Don't see any. I will open up to the floor to the dais. Is there any alderman who would like to make a comment or ask any questions regarding? Don't see any. So, Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This is a long-awaited opportunity to open up some garden plots to the residents of the city of Geneva. And the Park District and the Forest Preserve and the city are all cooperating very well in this project. And I know that a lot of people have wanted to have these garden plots available. And how many are there going to be in again, Dick?
The first phase will involve 124.
124. That's great. Going to have a lot of fresh vegetables next year.
Let's hope.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you very much for stating that, because I do know myself that I was approached with people who were interested in these garden areas, so I'm glad we're finally moving in that direction. Yes, Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Is there then, segue to the first question, is there then the opportunity in the future to expand this if it becomes very popular?
Yes, the plan has been designed, the site plan for this first phase has been designed to be expandable.
And the second obvious question is, do you have a timeline that you think will come from this process of public hearing and a final annexation that we'll vote on?
At this point, we're just looking at within the month to actually do the annexation. The Park District and the Forest Preserve District have already been in meetings with their governing bodies, and the Park District has voted to move forward with the project. It's my understanding that if all goes well this evening here with the hearing and the consideration later on in the agenda, the Park District will be moving to bid the project out.
All three entities would have a public hearing then, or is there one?
Well,
Who's the leader in the dance?
Yeah, actually, we're all sort of operating in a mode where we're reviewing the project with our governing bodies. We're all on a little bit of a different time schedule, but we're all reviewing it with the idea being that obviously we don't move forward unless the other bodies concur and vote to move forward. Later on next month, the Forest Preserve District board will be acting on it. Park District Board already has. The Forest Preserve District Board and one of their committees has already reviewed the project. And at this point, the support is unanimous across
the
board.
Is it possible to have a joint public hearing within the constraints of three different government agencies?
Well, it turns out the other bodies don't need public hearings. We need the public hearing for the annexation, agreement.
So we are, in some sense, the leader of the process in terms of a timeline.
Yeah, kind of, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Alderman Singer has the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Mr. Unsch, for one to be use the areas, must one be a resident of Kane County or?
At this point, first let me point out that this program would be operated by the Park District. Excuse me. So at this point, it's my understanding that Park District residents or residents within the jurisdiction of the Park District would be applying for the rental of these programs.
I see. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Madam Chair.
For these plots.
Is there anybody that would like to add anything or? Okay, hearing none. I'll entertain. Need a motion to close.
Second.
Let the record show that Alderman Dantino made the motion, and I not quite sure. Alderman Brown made the second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Show that everybody. It's aye for me too. So it's 9-1. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda.
One absent.
I'm sorry.
One absent. You mean?
9-0. What did I say?
9-1. 9-1. 9-0.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the correction. The next item on the agenda is consider consent agenda, and that's to approve the minutes of the whole minutes from July 11th. Do I hear a motion?
So moved. Approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Alderman Brown makes the motion, and Alderman Marks makes the second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Let the record show 9-0. Thank you. Moving on, item number five is items of business. A, recommend acceptance of the 2011 Cultural Arts Needs Assessment Report.
Move approval.
Second.
Alderman Hill made the motion. Alderman Maladra made the second. Is there anybody who's going to be doing the presentation? It looks like, oh, we have a bunch of people getting up. Paul Evans will start us up.
Yeah, tonight we're pleased to present the final study of our needs assessment. And with that, we have the public research group, David Manuelson, who will lead us through that discussion. Any questions the council has?
Dave Emanuelson with Public Research Group. Appreciate the opportunity to present the study. When we initially began the study, that we believe the purpose of the study was to determine whether there was interest on behalf of the community in a cultural arts center, either a new one or a used one, a renovated one, or whatever. However, during the course of the study, the scope of the study expanded a little bit because there were other questions that we felt we could ask within that without it expanding the total questionnaire very much. So we did that, and we'll talk briefly about that, and then if you have any questions, we can go from there. First of all, everybody has a copy of the study? Everybody has one in front of you or electronically?
You all have it, yes.
Okay,
thank
all right.
You.
Fairly large sample, about 600. We used three different means of data gathering. We used mail, telephone, and also electronic, the largest of which was mail. We got a very representative sample, plus or minus of actually about 3.5% within a margin of error, which tells us that the responses of the study were fairly representative of the community and how the community feels about different issues. We also had public meetings. We had a meeting with the commission itself, a brainstorming session, mind mapping session. And then we also had what's called the Delphi Committee, where we gathered together a group of informed people in the community and asked them how they felt about it. One of the first questions was generally dealing with the familiarity with the Cultural Arts Commission. Are people aware that it exists? And and aware of its work. We also asked them, and we divided that down, showing that there was a difference based on the samples themselves in terms of the percentages, familiarity, people who were online or email were more informed or more aware of it. So people who happen to use electronic media tend to pay attention much more. Then we asked them, how did you hear about the commission and its work? And still traditional newspapers, written method is still important. We do this a lot of times just to see how well the website is visited, how frequently it's visited, and you can see that we still have some work to do in terms of the number of people, the percentage of population that visits it. We also asked them what events that they participate in within the community, listing anything that was in or outside the community that had to do with film, with art, with museums, with garden walks, with musicals, in and out of the community. And we got frequency distributions that were fairly large. And, of course, 78% of the population attending festivals shows that there is a very high participation level on the part of the community in cultural arts in the city of Geneva. So that was the number is extremely high in our experience and is reflective of, in many ways, if you build it, they will come. If you have festivals, then people will enjoy them. And so it just shows how important cultural arts are to the residents of this community. We asked them frequency of attendance, and most people are frequent attenders of cultural arts. They're not infrequent attenders. 39% of the population attending cultural arts over five times a year is what we consider fairly frequent attendance of it. So it's not just occasional attendance. It's fairly frequent attendance in terms of the events that are offered here and elsewhere, which, again, solidifies the idea of how important cultural arts is to this community. We asked them about the specific events that take place within the community, and that gives you another frequency distribution of what they are. Festival on the Vine being the most important or the most highly attended, 70% of the population attending that at one time or another. And you can see the percentages. So that is something that the Cultural Arts Commission needed to know, wanted to know specifically how well attended these events are, because a lot of times it's impossible to take attendance at these events because they're open. Satisfaction levels seem to be very high as well. I mean, we find 43% very satisfied, 30% somewhat satisfied as being very, very a very positive, pleased community with cultural arts. So we've got frequently attending people attending many events who are very satisfied with the events. We asked them and how they participated in the arts. And again, most people as attendees, but there are, you know, this gives us an indication of what the percentage of donors and volunteers are, again, without having a specific statistical process of accounting for those things. Otherwise, this is, you know, within a margin of 3.5%, it gives you an idea where people are at. We asked them, when we got to the kind of the money question, do you support an arts facility? People were more ambivalent about that. You know, we got a fairly low percentage of folks who said that they supported a cultural arts facility and a fairly high undecided level of support. And if you've read the actual study results, at the end of it, there are comments that people made, and periodically throughout it, people had an opportunity to make open-ended comments. So there was not a level of support of building new facilities at this time. When we asked them specifically how you would prefer an arts facility to be presented, we got a fairly consistent, fairly low percentage of people who wanted to build a new one. I mean, 6% is low. That is no question about it. That question has been answered by the public. There does not appear to be interest on the part of the public to build a new facility. We asked them about shared usage and renovation as well, renovation being more popular. So we explored that a little bit in detail, and I'll cover that in a second. We asked them about willingness to donate. We didn't ask them about increasing their taxes. We just asked people whether they'd be willing to donate, because typically cultural arts are supported by generous donations, either the events themselves or the facilities that they're provided by. And again, we got a fairly consistent, 23% of the population who who was willing, said they were willing to donate $100 to $500. If you believe that, then that's a fairly nice number. But if you do the math and multiply that times the number of households in the community, we felt like if everybody was absolutely true to their word, we'd probably raise about $1 million in donations, which probably would not build a cultural arts facility. So again, that kind of math, is part of it. So we basically asked them, again, I kind of summarize what we've already learned from that. We also asked them a specific question, which I don't have a pie chart for on the screen, but we asked them a specific question about whether they would we did a correlation where we were correlating the people that were not, that didn't want to donate, that didn't want a facility to be built, and we found that within the core of the responses, there were about 30% of the public who did not want anything. They didn't want to build anything. They didn't want to add anything. They didn't want to pay for anything. And those are indicated at the end of the survey, like I said, with the percentage of responses of people that gave open-ended comments and said they, you know, this is not the right time, taxes, you know, we don't want our taxes to go up, those kind of responses. That tends to be a core of 30% of the public who are just no, they just don't want anything. And that's fairly consistent with what we find in many communities. We also asked the question about renovation to the Delphi Committee, the Delphi Committee being a group of people who were fairly influential in the community, people who knew what was going on. And most of them recommended that really didn't appear to be a really good idea either, because even though 34% of the population wanted it, it would probably, you know, to renovate a facility, to operate a facility like that at this time would require funding that is probably not available either through donations or availability by the city. So what we came to conclusions with, and again, with discussions from public meetings, from discussions, much of it open-ended, what we came up with were solutions that included things that the Cultural Arts Commission could do within the next 5 years that would improve cultural arts in the community but wouldn't cost very much money for them to do. And those are the kinds of solutions we came up with. And if I could just, I mean, I'll just go over them quickly with you, the bullet points. Creating networks and partnerships that utilize underused space in existing facilities. We got a lot of open-ended comments about, you know, the high school isn't used enough, you know, other facilities in the community aren't used enough. Why don't we start taking advantage of those? Well, to do that, somebody needs to have the time and the ability to do that. We have the ability, we believe, on the commission, but we don't have the time. Developing a brand identity is something that we felt was important, that the Delphi Committee thought was important too, for there to be an umbrella agency that everyone identifies or recognizes as the coordinator of cultural arts within the community. It would be nice if there would be one. Creating an effective web presence, that's important. There's some discussion about having CAC activities for marketing purposes, being a central distributor of tickets, seller of tickets. Considering the ability to do that, though, with the current commission being largely volunteers, who are people who have their own time constraints on what they're able to do. One of the thoughts was that maybe the CAC itself could fundraise for a staff position, and then that staff person would be the person that could sell tickets, that could coordinate, that would make a difference, and they could start the ball rolling. Because at this time, while there were, you know, there appeared to be other events planners out there, including the Chamber of Commerce, who needed, who always like support, because you just can't promote cultural events enough. That is the main job, is to let people know that they exist. That kind of a person, a coordinator, would help. So that is what we represent, or what we feel the study is reflective of. It's reflective of how the community feels about cultural arts. They're very supportive of it. It also suggests that there is a direction that the CAC could go in that would enhance its services, both from an identity and visibility standpoint, to address that, the lack of understanding that it exists in the community, and also to help promote and coordinate the cultural arts events within the community. And again, that's could be done by a staff position that would be funded by them. So that's what we came to, and there's a lot of there's a whole lot of information in there, but that's just a brief summary.
Thank you very much. I'm going to open up the questions first to the dais. Does anybody, any alderman have a question or comment or? Yes, Alderman Holberg.
Thank you.
Chairman. Doesn't matter, Chairman something.
Taking into consideration the recent developments in St. Charles with the Norris Center, what lessons can be learned from long-term philanthropy, and whether or not this is something that we're going to see more of? It's going to be more and more difficult to undertake these huge projects for the long term,
right?
With just charitable donations. Are we seeing it elsewhere in the Chicago metropolitan area? Any comments or observations as it relates to it?
Most nonprofit organizations are struggling in their fundraising right now, and a lot of people are more reluctant to donate. I mean, even political candidates I've read are receiving less in donations now than they used to receive. So there is a certain level of trepidation of that, but it's not non-existent. I mean, it hasn't totally dried up. It's just that it requires more creative ways of doing that. But people, when they know that they can donate to an agency or to an organization, they tend to be able to do that. I'm not sure that is something that CAC has actively promoted yet. I know they always are willing to accept donations, but to actively develop a fundraising strategy, again, would require a staff person to coordinate that as well. So I think one of the outcomes of it was not so much about the fundraising as it was just getting the CAC to think of itself as looking at the issues from, 50,000 feet instead of the ground level. Right now they're doing all of the groundwork, and in an organization like that they're going to do some, but for them to be able to vision and so on, they need the time to do that. So,
one other question.
Sure.
From your experience,
Alderman Kilburn, can you move your microphone so we can?
Pardon me. From your experience working with these types of organizations, are there any examples of partnerships where you consolidate resources and talent to undertake maybe dual roles? Like, for instance, here in the city of Geneva, we have our History Center. Mm-hmm. Have there been any examples of where a History Center and a Cultural Arts Commission have been able to merge their resources and focus in a workable manner to really not only survive but thrive?
I don't know of any examples where they merge their resources, their budgets, for instance. I know a lot of examples where they coordinate their promotional efforts. Mm-hmm. They have interlocking promotional relationships, links, if you will, to promote each other's activities. But generally, they don't merge their resources only because they have different missions, and each of them are expected to fulfill their mission. A history facility would be promoting history, whereas cultural arts is part of that, is part history, but it's broader than that. So in terms of that, no. I find more of that happening with the Chamber of Commerce. In many cases, the Chamber of Commerce tends to be the umbrella organization when it can, but then it usually spins off the festival and events planning entity or portion of it to a nonprofit corporation of its own. And mm-hmm. You already have that, so I'm not sure the Chamber is looking to do that. But you've got just a terrific community with a lot of things going on, and just more coordination is probably going to be very useful in terms of that.
Very good.
Advancement.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Brown.
Thank you. Chair, Chairwoman.
Chairperson,
Chairman. In our packet, we have the full cultural arts needs assessment. You've made a wonderful summary for it tonight, but the whole assessment, if people are interested, I believe, is it available on the website of the Cultural Arts Commission?
It will be after the...
It will be, yes.
After you.
There's a lot more material in this, including a lot, the individual comments are at the end of it. So, You gave a wonderful summary. I'm glad you didn't go through the whole report. It's a very detailed report. Okay. And well, contains you. A lot more information for people who are interested. Thank you.
Anyone else? Well, I had a comment, if I may,
sure.
Become an alderman. Is there, I noticed that you mentioned something about the Tri-Cities mm-hmm. as a whole.
Yes.
Did you in any way have a comment or look at the whole Tri-Cities as an entity and maybe working collaboratively with the three communities and having something that was larger rather than three individual?
Yes and no. I mean, the Cultural Arts Commission already does that. I mean, they basically work with the other entities in the different communities as well. In terms of creating an overarching organization like that, from our discussions with the other communities, they didn't seem to be as interested in that, to create an overarching entity. I mean, there are issues, and I you know the marquee sign that's out here. I mean, there you have a policy already that you can't put anybody, if it's an activity outside of Geneva, you can't put an activity on there. The other communities are similar to that because they're very sensitive about spending their local taxpayers' money for local events and so on. But there's a lot of cross-pollinization that goes on anyway, and there's a lot of cross-participation that goes on between the communities. You mentioned the Norris Center. Because the Norris Center exists means that probably not another one needs to exist in this area. But on the other hand, there are other gaps that could be filled in, and that's what, you know, what we're volunteering or asking you to look at. So. Okay.
Thank you. Is there any? Oh, Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think it's interesting to notice that the upcoming Festival of the Vine is the event that is ranked as the greatest in participation. That's coming up in September, and it will be another successful event, I'm sure. So we have that to look forward to.
It's at a really good time, and it's an event that engages adults, and it's just very popular.
Yes. I hope we don't tinker with it that makes any changes that might bother it.
We could change it to Festival of the Beer, no?
There you go. Some
hops,
of us would like that.
Festival of
Hops. Oh, the hops, yes.
Too many rabbits.
Yeah.
Thank you. Alderman Maladra?
Yeah. So given your experience, or this would even apply to the Cultural Arts Committee itself, is there anything about this study that you found surprising? Given the state of the economy, given what you've seen in other communities?
Surprising was basically the low percentage of people that wanted to build a new facility. I mean, 6% is extremely low. I mean, that's like that answers the question for a long time to come, I think.
It's definitive. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the renovation, if you look at the comments about renovating and some of the ideas that people had, the old bank, the old school here, you know, those buildings are out there as concepts. I think people, you know, that most people love having things downtown, but there's a few people that feel that intrudes on their ability to shop or whatever. But I was impressed with the commission itself and how they present themselves and how they handle themselves. Mm-hmm. And I've been impressed with generally things, how things go in Geneva anyway.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome to move here.
I'm just a DeKalb down the road a little bit.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Manuelson,
right?
Please.
Thank you. Is there any other questions from the audience? Anybody here who wants to make additional comments? Chairman Betang, if you want to come and say a few words regarding this report or anything else?
No, I don't have any questions, but thank you.
So.
Just a couple comments. I want to thank Public Research Group for their work on this. We went back and forth at a number of meetings and lots of emails over different issues, and the longest thing was probably coming up with the questions, because we wanted something that would really give us some information to use in the future. And I think we got that with this. When you really get into the questions and the answers, like one of the examples was the CAC logo and branding identity. I mean, we have one, and you know, close up, I think we use it. It's in all of our literature, but obviously it's not being effective. So that's something we wouldn't have gotten on our own, and it's something we need to work on. And in terms of the marketing, it shows that people are aware of the events, but our attendance hasn't always been where we would like it. We've got more room down at the River Park for our activities, and so we need to work on that. So to that end, the Arts Commission is actually having a retreat in August where we're going to be addressing a lot of the issues that are in that in the study and try to come up with some solutions and some action plans for it. Because the one thing we didn't want was to have this document just sit on a shelf and gather dust. And wanted to make sure that we use the information that was contained within it.
Is there any place where, if somebody is watching this and is interested in getting involved in the cultural arts, do you have a contact place that you can tell them where you can?
There is an opportunity to volunteer, I believe, on the Arts Let's Commission. See. And if they would just email the city or myself.
Okay.
The Arts Commission email is on there. We'll be sure and contact them because we can always use volunteers.
And donations.
Yes.
That's true. And we have a giving program that I'm sure the cultural arts is contribute through that to the cultural arts too. So I just wanted to make sure that we at least, since you had the floor, that you were able to tell people where they can make donations and where to volunteer and where to become part, get more involved. So
thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I think we have a motion and a second on the floor. All those in favor say aye.
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 Let the record show 9-0. No, yep, that's right. I always keep wanting to say 9-1. Next item on the agenda is looking for a motion to recommend approval of the use of rights of way for downtown sidewalk sales. The dates are August 5 through 7 of 2011.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Brown, seconded by Alderman Marks. Any questions, comments? Anybody from the audience? Any questions, comments?
This is a city-sponsored event called Sidewalk Sales. Our business merchants are involved, I believe.
That's true. And Ellen DeVito, I'm sure, would like to maybe make some comments.
Good evening, everyone. The little traveler usually chooses the date, and then we just write up the request on behalf of the merchants. The Economic Development Department helps through printing the posters that went out today and sign-ups for our Sudden Values email marketing campaign, but it's a merchant-driven event. It's any merchant that wants to participate is able to.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other comments, questions? Hearing none, seeing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Let the record show 9-0. Next item on the agenda is I'm looking for a motion to recommend draft resolution authorizing bid award and execution of contract for Triggy Construction in the amount of $199,797.50 for Manchester Alley West Phase Alley Rehab Project. This is
so
the
moved. Second.
Second. Alderman Kilberg makes the motion, and the second was by Alderman Piper. As I was saying, this is the second phase, I think. Second or third? Second? Second phase of this. So any questions or comments? Anybody from the audience? Hearing none, seeing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Aye, too. I keep forgetting. All those were aye for me, too. 9-0. Next item on the agenda, I'm looking for a motion to recommend draft resolution authorizing bid award for purchase of one heavy-duty rescue/pumper from Pierce Manufacturing, the amount of $541,127. Almost missed those zeros.
So moved.
Second.
Motion was made by Alderman Marks, seconded by Alderman Maladra. And here we have Chief Olson. from the Hello. Fire Department.
Good evening. This has been on our vehicle replacement schedule for...
Thank you.
That was something I said.
There you go.
Vehicle replacement schedule for the last 5 years, scheduled for replacement, and for financial reasons, it's had to be deferred. I was replacing a 22-year-old vehicle that we have in, fleet, and it should take about 8 months for it to arrive.
How'd you get it down to $541?
It'd be awesome if we could.
Pierce got competitive, huh? Pierce got competitive.
We're recommending as a part of this process to use the Northwest Municipal Conference Suburban Purchasing Cooperative. We purchased our last engine through this process. The Suburban Purchasing Cooperative has a little over 150 municipalities and districts in its organization, and they use the combined power of the group to do the bidding specifications and in a competitive manner to arrange opportunities like this for communities like Geneva to take advantage of. This instance, they had 8 vendors approach, attend a pre-RFP meeting. 7 of those returned in proposals. Of that, 6 moved on to the actual vetting process, and from that, 3 were identified as recommended vendors. Pierce Manufacturing is one that we've had a long history with, and we know they build a quality product that we will get along a lot of years out. As one of our oldest engines is a Pierce, and it's 27 years old.
Thank you. If you'll notice, the bid documents were quite lengthy. How many pages?
I think the whole thing. I've got the Suburban Purchasing Cooperative used also, so it made the document longer.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was pretty intense. Any questions? Yep. Alderman Dentino.
Two questions. One for Chief Olson. I have a copy of this purchasing program that you used, and it was $502,000 is their bid. What's the extra $39,000 for, roughly? And did you give me an old copy?
For the warranties.
I'm sorry, which one?
Pierce bids $502,134.
No, 541-127. I'm not quite sure what you're reading.
The thing you gave me.
That was in the initial draft when they for the a base pumper. This is a heavy duty rescue pumper, so the price is higher.
That's what I was asking, I guess. What's the difference between
I had to understand where we're going. Yeah, that's because this is a heavy duty rescue pumper. It's designed to be an attack engine plus handle our special teams issues as hazmat technical rescue. So therefore it's a larger vehicle to handle all that equipment.
Okay. And the second question is for Administrator McKittrick. Do we use this for other things too, that bidding thing that they just used? What's it called?
Suburban Purchasing Cooperative.
Right.
We use it for fire department. We've not used it, to my knowledge, for other vehicles because we've gone through the state program, which is basically the same.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here, like even cleaning services. So.
And we typically go through the state program for other things.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Alderman Singer?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Chief, this vehicle is replacing...
Excuse me. Engine 207.
207?
Yes.
And what do you intend to do with 207?
It'll be put up for surplus. Declare. We will come back to you to ask to declare it surplus and then auction it off.
He'll probably buy it.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Alderman Marks.
This is probably for Mrs. McKittrick. I saw down in the bid that there are actual different payment options. Do we know which one? There were discounts included in that. Which one are we? I was a little confused at which one we were using, actually. And then there were some extended warranties, and I didn't know if we were purchasing any of those along in that bid price.
We are actually using one of the bid proposals, the discount proposals. Okay. Was it 15?
75% is what we talked about.
Right.
Okay, so we're using the discount for making a 75% down payment.
Right, a 25%.
Gives us the $15,000 off. Okay, and then there were there were bumper-to-bumper warranties and stuff. Were we purchasing any of those with that, or are those included?
They came with the bid.
Right. They just those came with the bid, okay. Because
right.
there were different were options here, two-year, three-year,
oh, yeah.
and I didn't know which. So that's all in the bid, okay.
Right. Those are extra. That we did not take an option on those
okay,
because
fine.
They would increase the cost of the vehicle.
Fine. Just, I wasn't sure because it said Geneva, Illinois, bid number 222, so I
yeah.
wasn't sure what we were really doing because I couldn't add everything up. Okay, thank you.
I have a question. How long has it taken us to gift you the fire department another engine?
8 months.
To replace engine 207, how long?
It's been on the top of the list for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that we rationally came, you know.
No, it's been considered by the council every year for the last 5 years, and now we have an opportunity to address that.
That's good. Any other questions? Alderman Kilburn?
Chief Olson, I know a lot of research and work has gone into this. This is a significant amount of money. But I know that when I met with you earlier this year, you talked about some of the compatibility considerations and some of the things that make sense with the peers. And maybe you could elaborate on a few of those just to give the public a little bit of insight into the conclusion as far as the equipment we arrived at.
One of the things that we try to standardize very closely is the operational characteristics or the parameter of the vehicles. Because we operate with a combination department, we have paid-on-call and career firefighters. And while our paid-on-call firefighters are very well trained and extraordinarily responsible and they're outstanding employees, they are paid-on-call, and we try to standardize the controls of a vehicle so that when they move from vehicle to vehicle, and if it's been 2 weeks since the last time they've been in the vehicle, they've got some memory of what things are, especially late at night and in the heat of an operation. This is especially true of what we call the engineer's panel, which is on the left side of the vehicle, and that controls the pump operations, the electrical generators, all of that, and we try to standardize those panels and make sure they're laid out as close to the same way as possible between vehicles. We try to eliminate the opportunity for mistakes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody from the audience that would like to have any questions or make any comments? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Nobody opposed, apparently, so 9-0. I failed to say thank you very much, Chief Olson.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. Also, let the record show that Mayor Burns did arrive. I'm sorry.
My apologies to the chair and to the members of the committee and the audience as well. I had to rely on Metra, therefore I was delayed. So, as Mr. Maladra well knows.
Thank you. Moving along, we're on item number E. And I'm looking for a motion to recommend a draft resolution declaring surplus property for 5 police department squad vehicles or cars.
So moved. Second.
Alderman Piper, a motion by Alderman Piper, seconded by Alderman Marks. And I'm sorry. Good evening, Sergeant Frieders.
Sergeant Mike Frieders.
I was ready to say that. With the help of Gene.
Did you draw the short straw to be here tonight?
Yeah, absolutely not. I volunteered to be here.
Did you? Notice he has his gun, Madam Chairman.
Uh-huh. Thank you for pointing that out.
You're welcome.
Any questions?
Oh,
just kind of a housekeeping matter, surplus cars being replaced by newer cars in the fleet.
Alderman Piper first.
Mike, are we out of the Impalas now?
Not totally. The last batch of vehicles that we purchased were Ford Crown Victorias. That brought us up to 4 that came in. We still have 2 frontline Chevy Impalas that are on the street currently.
So we're almost out of our.
We're working our way through those issues.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That's what I wanted to know.
Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I need some clarification. I was under the impression that we were replacing 3. Squad cars at one time. Are we replacing 5?
We did 4 purchases within the past, I believe, 6 months. There was a special amendment from last year's budget
yeah.
where we purchased 2 And that was in large part because Ford was ceasing manufacture of the Crown Victoria line. So they were stopping the order process at March 1st. So we needed to get those orders in early.
Okay.
And we ordered two more additional after May 1st.
Right. Okay. I understand now. Thank you, sir.
With the build time, they basically came in the same time.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Just for anyone who's interested, these would go on the surplus. We send these to the state surplus list. Is that correct?
We've sold ours internally on actually eBay. That's eBay. Where we get them. We found the maximum dollar. We participate in the iBid auction site as well, but it seems that we get a better return off of eBay because there's an increased viewership on there. So when we sell them, that's where we send them to.
Yeah, and I'm sure that we keep very good maintenance of our vehicles. I know that. We have a very good maintenance department. So if people are interested in these, when are these liable to appear? Soon?
We try to roll them out one or two at a time with this large of a group, especially just for tracking purposes. But within the next few weeks, they should appear, yes.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Any other questions? Anybody from the audience? Any questions? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anybody opposed? Let the record show 9-0.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sergeant Schroeder.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is I need a motion to recommend draft ordinance authorizing execution of annexation agreement with the Forest Preserve District of Kane County pertaining to Prairie Green Preserve. And we had a, if everybody remember, we had a public hearing just earlier. So,
move approval. Second.
Alderman Hill makes the motion and Alderman Marx seconds. Anybody have a question or comment? Anybody from the audience? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Let the record show 9-0. Okay. Item G, looking for a motion to recommend draft resolution authorizing execution of use permit and license agreement for community garden plots at Prairie Green Preserve.
Move approval.
Second.
Alderman Hill makes the motion. Alderman Malaja seconds. We have Mr. Dick Unsch again at the podium.
Yes, just very briefly, I wanted to point out that this is a true partnership between the Geneva Park District, Forest Preserve District, and the city. Under the proposed license agreement, the city would install the potable water service to the site at a cost not to exceed $25,000, and it'll be an in-house project utilizing city staff to install those water lines. The agreement also gets into the right, Forest Preserve District extending the right to the Park District to use, develop, operate, and maintain the community garden plot site. Along with the design of the improvements and the actual construction of the improvements that I mentioned earlier with respect to the driveway, the parking lot, and the grading for the plots and the service drives within the plots. And then finally, just to point out that the Forest Preserve District is contributing the land towards the project and police protection services within this sphere of their services that they provide to all of their sites. The other point that I would just make briefly is that to the question raised earlier about who's eligible to rent these plots. And the Park District does have a draft set of guidelines, and I was just reviewing them in my packet here. And recalling back here last year when we first started talking about this, it's the Park District's intent to not limit plot rental to just Geneva residents. They will be marketed to Geneva residents as part of a Park District program. But technically, someone else from outside the community could rent a plot. That's my recollection of how that would work. And it's consistent with their draft guidelines that they have in place. So I wanted to clarify that point.
Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I presume that Geneva Park District, not the city of Geneva, would have first priority for the plots.
Geneva Park District runs the program.
What would they be getting? Members of the Geneva Park District would have first priority for the rental.
I don't believe that there is a priority of any kind. The program, the plots will be marketed to folks within the Geneva Park District.
If I can invite Trish. I'm sorry, I don't know what your last name is.
Is Trish here? I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
Maybe she would like to come to the podium and answer.
My name is Trish Burns. I'm the manager of Peck Farm Park and kind of in charge of the community garden in terms of the regulations for how we're going to manage it with residents and non-residents. And we are going to give priority to residents of the park district, which is actually the Geneva Township. It's not just the city.
Who's parts of Batavia and other
Yes,
things.
Exactly. And then there are some folks who've actually approached me who are Batavia Park District residents that want to get plots as well, but we'll give priority to Geneva Park District residents first.
Hopefully you try to fill it up with people who are outside of the park.
Yes.
Geneva Park.
Yes. You know, we're going to put time limits on how quickly Geneva residents can sign up for these. So it would probably be, ideally, we want to open these up April 1st of 2012, and we would start accepting registration when we start our winter registration, which will be December 6th, somewhere around there. So we'll give priority to Geneva residents probably until March, and then give non-residents a month to get plots from there. So.
Thank you. I have a second question, which probably is more polite if I ask Dick and not putting you on
Thank
the spot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dick, will we get any portion of the fees back to reimburse for water?
I don't believe so, no.
It is a budgeted item, though, already, correct, as I read it? So it's been already budgeted.
So if somebody leaves the tap running and we end up losing a lot of money, we'll have to invent a scheme for preventing it.
Well, the one thing that we have in place in this agreement is that there's a threshold amount that's identified as a credit in terms of our the water that would be consumed at the site. We base this on the city of Naperville's experience with these types of plots. So a dollar amount above that threshold amount would then be payable by either the Forest Preserve District or the Park District.
$300 a year.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you.
Alderman Tino.
Dick, you're saying it's going to cost $25,000. Who is with city employees to do that?
It's going to be an in-house project. You know, okay. They're going to buy
the
materials.
So you just have to extend some piping out to the.
Right. I'm not with the city engineer here. Oh, there's Pam. She's there. But I can speak to this as a planner in soft terms. You know, the water's being extended across Peck Road from Fisher Farms, and that'll be handled as an in-house project by Public Works staff.
Okay. And I think that's all I had. Thank you.
Ms. Broviak, maybe you want to chime in here for a minute?
We will be doing the majority of the work in-house. However, we do have to bore under the road, so we will have to hire that portion of it out because we don't have a boring machine.
Okay, and you're just going to put a water main, a 4-inch main or something across the street?
We're extending from the east side of Peck Road underneath over into the community garden plot area and then branching off to yard hydrants and downsizing the pipes for the services throughout the plots.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Any other comments? Anybody from the audience? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? 9-0. Let the record show. I was so glad that you mentioned, Trish, that you were planning to do it in the spring, or opening up the gardens for spring. So that's going to be something exciting, I'm sure, for the community. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is accept the first quarter fiscal year 2011/12 goals status report.
So
I have a motion by Alderman Maladra. Do I hear
second.
A second?
A second.
A second by Alderman Marks. Any questions? I'm sure City Administrator McKittrick would answer any if you had any. Everybody read it? No comments?
Ooh. Yes.
You don't have to say no, no. yeah, I could.
I got 10% of it.
I have a question.
Only 10, huh?
I have a question. Let's see. The goal number 5, facilitate the creation of City Economic Development Commission, is that, are we on time with that, or is that second quarter, I guess? So that has yet to be...
Repeat that, Alderman Hill. What was that?
Wondering about facilitating the creation of a new Economic Development Commission to be in the second quarter.
I can address that, Madam Chair, if you'd like.
Yes, please.
Ellen DeVita is still with us this evening. Ellen and I have received numerous applications for interested parties to serve on the EDC, and we are now vetting that list, and we'll extend formal invitations for those to serve, and we'll present that list to the council for consideration and nomination probably within 2 or 3 weeks, right, Ellen?
Right.
Probably 2 or 3 months.
Don't leave it in his hands.
2 or 3 weeks. Yeah.
List is that long, right?
Yeah. It's a very impressive list, in fact. So.
Good. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? I don't think we need a motion for this, do we? Or do we?
Sure.
Asking. Okay. We need a motion. Did I ask?
Oh,
I got it ready. I'm sorry. Lost my train of thought here. I'm sure Gene has it, right? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? 9-0. Okay, moving right along. The next item, we're looking for a motion to recommend draft ordinance amending Title 4, Chapter 2, Liquor Control, Section 4-2-17 of the Geneva City Code.
Boom! Sounds like Chicago.
That was a slip.
So move.
Second.
Okay, let the record show that Alderman Marks made the motion and Alderman
Piper
made the motion and Alderman Maladra made the second. And we have again Sergeant Frieders at the podium. Does anybody have any questions? Alderman Marks.
You know, it may probably address more to the mayor because it's the city liquor officer. There seems to be some confusion with the hours, though. I mean, mostly throughout the ordinance, the one that exists now, most of it doesn't start until noon on Sundays, and we're starting this one a little earlier. And the Friday through Saturday, they're ending mostly at 10 or 11, and we're going longer till midnight. Is there a reason for that, or is that just...
It was a correct...
Mr. Burns, I can actually answer that if you'd like.
Oh, okay.
Excellent.
But that's all right.
That's my Mr. Burns impersonation. There is a short answer that's consistent with state statute.
Okay.
And again, this answer is certainly my position. I trust the council's position, certainly the business's position, that it's respectful of not only the businesses, but of course the consumer. But I'll defer to Sergeant Frieder since he was one of the authors,
okay,
if you will.
There is a difference in the hours of dispensing when you talk about in terms of if it's an on-premise dispenser,
right,
where you can drink there, or if it's an off-premise retailer, you buy it in a packaged goods. So currently the code allows for an on-premise retailer for them to be open later into the evening till 2 in the morning. They can also open early in the morning. They can open as early as 6 a.m.
That's serving on-premise.
Correct. So the section that we're referring to, the 4217, is basically the section of the code that allows a retailer to have an on-premise event, for example, a beer garden during a festival specifically.
Okay.
So that is strictly a consumption time on-premise for them, where before they could only start at noon, now they're allowed that 1 hour early to start starting at 11. So it's not totally out of line in terms of what an on-premise retailer is already doing. An on-premise retailer can actually serve earlier.
But seasonal outdoor liquor licenses, dispenser serve alcohol, and an outdoor location is 12 to 8 on Sundays.
Currently, but we're making an adjustment to that.
Adjustment to that later.
To allow for opening, that was a request made from the business community to allow a little bit earlier service.
And then later on Friday and Saturday night till midnight?
That's always been the case. That's,
okay.
That hasn't changed.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have mentioned there was a change on our dais.
Yeah, it's 11, yeah. 11, and 11 is opening instead of 11 noon.
Right,
noon,
and there was paper on the dais to show there was a little
minor
correction.
Just I was confused with the existing ordinance that had most of it at noon, and we moved this earlier till 11.
The actual change in that section is twofold. One is the time, and then the second is to allow for that during that outdoor area, not only to serve on-premise, but also to serve off-premise. So they'll be able to have packaged goods as well.
Yeah, that's fine.
Alderman Singer, did you have...
Thank you, Madam Chairman. What we're doing here is amending Section 4-2-17, which deals with the outdoor retail sales of beer and wine.
Correct.
Now, there is a fee attached with that licensing.
Correct.
And will this now mean that there will be an additional fee added to the present license exists that allows retail sales of beer and wine?
That's the special event license.
Special event.
Of which there are limited during special events, but there's only so many issued.
And there's a fee attached to that licensing.
Correct.
Will this mean then that that fee will be increased?
No, we made no adjustment in the fee.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Alderman Singer. I mean, Alderman Hill. I'm sorry.
So this encompasses the entire community, city of Geneva, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any business that would apply under that ordinance. So off the top of my head, I believe there's only certain classifications that can even apply for that outdoor special event license. So if you are a current license holder and want to apply for that, then and you have one of those licenses, that would trigger it and you could apply for it.
Thank you very much.
Alderman Maladra.
So just so I'm clear, all these changes that we're talking about apply only during city festivals and events.
Correct.
So not a blanket change, changing hours every Friday and Saturday or anything like that.
This right. Is it's Sunday. Specific for the verbiage in the liquor code talks about city fairs or festivals, of which the city has 5 designated festivals. It only would apply for those.
Yep. Got it. Thanks.
Any other questions from the dais?
I have a comment.
Oh,
I think this is encouraging that they were allowing this on Sundays, because that might encourage all of our retailers who are involved in this merchandise to sell it on Sundays and to be open on Sundays. I hope they all are. Thank you, sir.
Any other questions, comments? Anybody from the audience that would like to make a comment? Questions? Okay. Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Let the record show 9-0. Item number 6 is new business. I entertain any Alderman Dantino.
Just me?
Just your comments at this point in time.
Thank you. Last week, we were voting on 2 people for the Cultural Arts Commission. We didn't get those names.
That goes to a city council vote for a nomination.
I'm sorry. All right, that's true. Okay, thank you.
Sure. In fact, one of the young ladies was here tonight, Mrs. Tkach. She'll be back with us. She'll actually be gone on August 1st, but that'll be considered at a formal council meeting on the 1st.
Thank you.
It's 2. Anybody else with new business? Well, thank you very much, everyone, for coming. We're going to have upcoming meetings is Committee of the Whole is August 8, 2011. And there's a special council meeting following this meeting immediately afterwards, and I will be leaving the chair, I'm assuming. So I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Seconds.
Motion by Alderman Dantino, seconded by Alderman Singer. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Thank you very much. And moving the chair over.
Questions until we get this all done?
I guess I'm going to be chairing the meeting, so if anybody would just keep it down for a
What happens? None must go out for coffee.
Can we keep it down for just a moment so that we can start the meeting, please? Thank you very much.
Your cousin?
Let's do it.
Like to have a roll call by Jean.
Chuck Brown? Chuck Brown?
Mr. Brown?
Ralph Dantino?
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Here.
Sam Hill?
Here.
Craig Maladra?
Here.
Richard Marks?
Here.
Dean Kilber?
Here.
Robert Piper?
Here.
Ron Singer?
Let the record show that everyone's here except for Alderman Vogelsberg, I guess. I don't even have to say that.
And Mr. Singer.
And Ron Singer. Stepped
away temporarily.
He stepped out
back.
For a moment.
He's not here.
So when he arrives, we'll make a notice. But
didn't give us old guys much time. We moved
well,
forward.
I'm
you know.
Sorry. I was moving. Let the record show that Alderman Singer has returned. There's a special city council meeting, and we're recommending, I'm looking for a motion to recommend an ordinance amending Title 4, Chapter 2, Liquor Control, Section 4-2-17, Outdoor Retail Sale of Beer and Wine of the City of Geneva Code.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion was made by Alderman Hill, seconded by Alderman Maladra. Do I hear any questions from the dais, comments, anybody from the audience?
Madam Chairman, I'd like to make a brief statement, if I may.
Please.
Thank I want you. To acknowledge the good work by Sergeant Frieders. I feel like Ronald Reagan in New Hampshire. I turned my microphone off. And others who put this together. And a debt of gratitude to Mr. Scar and others in the business community for their extraordinary patience and my appreciation for allowing us to piecemeal this forward so that we can address the concerns of select business owners with respect to Festival of the Vine. So I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hearing none, I don't hear any comments or questions. All those in favor say, oops, roll call.
It's gonna be a roll call.
Chuck Brown? Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Okay. Let the record show. Oh.
You have to vote and you have to say
oh, it. Aye. I did say aye.
You
didn't
did. Okay,
I say
I missed
aye?
It. Sorry.
He's sleeping again.
Yeah.
I mean, we're moving so fast that I've lost control of this place. You know what I mean? It's like this.
Need a motion to waive our fee.
You're doing fine.
Okay.
Need a motion to waive our fee?
Yes.
So
are
moved.
You making that?
So moved.
Okay. Alderman
second.
Piper is making a motion to waive our fees. The second was by Alderman Marks. All those in favor say, I'm sure, aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Okay. Let the record show that we have.
Right here is opposed.
9-0.
Yeah, 9-0. Okay, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Alderman Piper.
Second.
By Alderman Dantino. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Let the record show 9-0.
0-9.
Good evening. Have a good evening, everyone.
All right.